Hare Krishna. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 40. I've been told to also read Text 39 and its purport, because yesterday we were not able to do that. So we'll do Text 39, we'll read Text 39 purport, and then we'll read Text 40 and purport. So, text 39. Mathurayam tatha vajram surasena patim tatha prajapatyam nirupyeshtim agnin abhipad ishvara. Translation. Then he posted Vajra, the son of Aniruddha, the grandson of Lord Krishna, at Mathura as the king of Surasena. Afterwards, Maharaj Yudhishthira performed a prajapatya sacrifice and placed himself in the fire for quitting household life. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira, after placing Maharaj Parikshit on the imperial throne of Hastinapur, and after posting Vajra, the great-grandson of Lord Krishna, as the king of Mathura, accepted the renounced order of life. The system of four orders of life and four castes in terms of quality and work, known as Varnashram Dharma, is the beginning of real human life. And Maharaj Yudhishthira, as the protector of this system of human activities, timely retired from active life as a sannyasi, handing over the charge of the administration to a trained prince, Maharaj Parikshit. The scientific system of Varnashram Dharma divides the human life into four divisions of occupation and four orders of life. The four orders of life are, the four orders of life as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi are to be followed by all, irrespective of the occupational division. Modern politicians do not wish to retire from active life, even if they are old enough. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, as an ideal king, voluntarily retired from active administrative life to prepare himself for next life. Everyone's life must be so arranged that the last stage of life, say at least the last 15 to 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. It is really foolishness to engage oneself all the days of one's life in material enjoyment and fruitive activities, because as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there is no chance of getting out from conditional life or material bondage. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. So text 40, which we'll recite together and which is on the board. Translation. Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt and ornaments of the royal order, and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Purport. To become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhishthir, therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments. The kashaya, or saffron loincloth, of a sannyasi indicates freedom from all attractive material garments, and thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family, and thus became free from all material contamination or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations, the designations of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness, but they do not know that such false consciousness is also another designation of the materially conditioned soul. One has to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish people adore such men who die in national consciousness. But here is an example of Maharaj Yudhishthir, a royal king who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king. Almost on the same level with the personality of Godhead Sri Ram. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects. And it was quite possible for such great emperors to rule the world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyadesatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya eva cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnabhyo, Namo Nama. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki. Hare Krishna. The recent chapters, from chapter 9 onwards, specifically chapter 13, 14 and 15, we're hearing about retirement and disappearances of various personalities. Specifically chapter 9 in this canto speaks about disappearance of Bhishma, the departure of Bhishma from this world. Lord Krishna, joined by Yudhishthir Maharaj, the Pandavas, come to see Bhishma. And as Bhishma is having darshan of the lordships, Lord Krishna, he passes away. So we heard about Bhishmadev in chapter 9. And then chapter 13, we hear about Dhritarashtra quitting home, followed by Gandhari. Actually, it's Gandhari, not Gandhari. Because Gandhari means something else. It's a long A, Gandhari. Gandh means smell, you know, unfavorable smell, unfavorable aroma, like that. So it's Gandhari. So we heard about Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, in chapter 13. In chapter 14, we heard about the disappearance of Lord Krishna. And here, this chapter 15, we're hearing about the retirement of the Pandavas and their disappearance. So therefore, the title of this chapter is The Pandavas Retire Timely. And specifically the set of verses that we're going through, we're hearing about Maharaj Yudhishthira's retirement. Specifically, from text 38 onwards, all the way till text 44, we hear about Maharaj Yudhishthira, how he becomes detached, how he passes on responsibilities, his responsibilities as a king, onto his grandson, onto Vajra and so on. And then he takes steps in terms of detaching himself and then goes back to Godhead, like that. So 38 to 44, we hear about Maharaj Yudhishthira, his retirement, him going back to Godhead. We also hear in this chapter about the disappearance of Kunti, followed by the wives of the Pandavas, the other Pandavas, and in conclusion of this chapter we hear about Vidura, his disappearance, and him being reinstated as Yamaraj. So, a lot of disappearances, retirements in this chapter. Texts 38 and 39 speak about how Maharaj Yudhishthira passes on his responsibility to Maharaj Parikshit. He enthrones Maharaj Parikshit at Hastinapur as the king of the world. And in this particular text, text 39 that we read, we're hearing about how he gives the charge of Surasena, or the district of Surasena, or the persons of Surasena, the descendants of Surasena, to Vajra, the grandson of Krishna. Actually, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the great-grandson of Krishna. Technically, it's the great-grandson of Krishna. We have Krishna, we have Pradyumna, then Aniruddha. So Vajra is the son of Aniruddha. So it's great-grandson of Krishna. So Prabhupada specifies that in the purport, although the translation says grandson of Krishna. So let us go through some of the main points in the translation, in the purport of both of the verses, and pull out some pertinent points that Srila Prabhupada makes. And as we're hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, the text as well, what are the main points? So text 39, then he posted Vajra, the son of Aniruddha, grandson of Lord Krishna, at Mathura as the king of Surasena. One could say it should read king of Surasenas, but it says king of Surasena. Afterwards, Maharaj Yudhishthira performed a Prajapatya sacrifice. So what is this Prajapatya sacrifice? This particular sacrifice that Maharaj Yudhishthira performed, this sacrifice is in which one passes on one's responsibilities to younger generation and one relinquishes one's position and takes up to detachment, takes up to renunciation, takes up to retired life. So this is the Prajapatya sacrifice. So Maharaj Yudhishthira performed the Prajapatya sacrifice and various rituals and ceremonies that are involved, with the help and the assistance of the various Brahmins and sages. He placed himself, in my particular book here, the word in is missing. He placed himself the fire of quitting household life. So I suppose it should read, he placed himself in the fire of quitting household life. So what does this mean? He placed himself in the fire of quitting household life. That means he resolved. He came to this resolve, especially after passing on his responsibility to the younger generation, especially after performing the Prajapatya sacrifice. Right? He became determined. He developed a resolve to give up everything and take up to the renounced order and ultimately go back to Godhead. So resolve became fixed, became determined. So in this way, he placed himself in the fire for quitting household life or material life. In the purport of text 39, Srila Prabhupada speaks quite strongly about how one should give up. Also, that theme continues in the purport of text 40 as well, how one should give up material life, how one should give up household life, how one should take up to vanaprastha or sannyas, like that. So we'll read certain points that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport. So he's speaking about Maha Yudhishthira, and he says he retired timely from active life as a sannyasi, handing over the charge of the administration to the trained prince Maharaj Parikshit. Okay? So he retired timely. He responsibly retired. He passed on his position. He trained up Maharaj Parikshit. And at the right time, not too early, not leaving it so many years later, specifically after the disappearance of Krishna, feeling separation from Krishna, he retired timely from household life. And I suppose Prabhupada therefore gives the title to these chapters, to this chapter particularly, the Pandavas retire timely, not untimely. Not because he was thinking, I had enough of my wife, I had enough of my children, this position is giving me too much headache, ruling this kingdom, you know, like that. No. At the right time, in the right way, responsibly, he retired timely. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. He retired timely. He trained Parikshit Maharaj up before, and he passed appropriately, following all the rules and regulations, doing all the rituals. In this way, he retired. And then Srila Prabhupada continues, and he says in the purport, modern politicians do not wish to retire from active life. What to speak of retiring timely, people do not want to retire at all. And specifically, here Srila Prabhupada is having a go at the modern politicians, or those people in position. They want to hold on to their position. They're 70 years old, they're 80 years old, they're 85 years old, right? Some African prime minister, president, he was kind of like 90 or something, 90 plus. He still wants to hang on after so many years of being a leader, right? So here Srila Prabhupada is saying, modern politicians do not wish to retire from active life, even if they are old enough. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, as an ideal king, voluntarily retired from active administrative life to prepare himself for next life. Right? I suppose also as devotees, we have to be careful of the politician mentality and mood as well. We may be holding on to our position, our place in the society of devotees, having this political mentality, right? Still wanting to enjoy, still wanting to control. And externally, the temple needs me. You know, the devotees need me. Without me, what will happen? You know, like that. how will this Krishna consciousness will go on? So also as devotees, we have to be careful that we are not holding on to our position. We don't develop this political mentality. So maybe Prabhupada is also devotees. Prabhupada wanted the devotees to read these books, and when he's mentioning modern politicians, maybe Prabhupada is also, we can take it as Prabhupada is subtly telling us, modern politicians, maybe, you know, the devotees are modern politicians, you know, like that. Maybe there is that subtlety in there, that subtle aspect in there. So be careful, be careful, be careful. Be an ideal devotee like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Pass on your responsibility, right? Don't be attached to your position. And in this way, appropriately, responsibly, retire. Retire and engage fully, absolutely, in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada continues, and he says, everyone's life must be so arranged that the last stage of life, say at least the last 15 to 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. So Prabhupada is saying last 15 to 20 years should be solely dedicated, right, to Krishna consciousness, to practice of spiritual life fully. So in this way, one can prepare for next life. One can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, one will have to remain in this material world. If one continues without becoming detached materially from material position, without giving up material desires, then one will have to come again in this material world. So Prabhupada is saying at least the last 15 years, 20 years should be dedicated solely, fully to Krishna consciousness, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also mentioned 12 years at times as well, and we have the example of A.J. Miller, Ajamil, right? He said after he saw Yamadutas and after he saw the Vishnu Dutas, he took up to spiritual life and he took up very seriously. He went to Haridwar. And in 12 years, he perfected his life. Even though he's such a debauchee, such a fallen person. After that incident, he perfected his life in 12 years. And he went back to Godhead. Prabhupada says, if one sincerely and seriously executes devotional service according to my instructions, getting up early in the morning, doing one sadhana, then in 12 years, one will become perfect. So here Srila Prabhupada is indicating, if we dedicate our life, right, if not now, when we're young, at least in the latter stages of our life, 15, 20 years, it's possible for us to actually give up this material world and go back to Godhead. Of course, there are exceptional cases where people have perfected their lives in a shorter time, like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, like that. Sisi Radha Gokulananda ki, Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki. So Prabhupada is saying at least last 15 to 20 years. At other times, Srila Prabhupada would quote, Panchas Urdvam Vanam Vrajet. He would quote this Vedic saying. Panchas Urdvam Vanam Vrajet. So after 50, one should take up to retired life. One should give up one's positions, one's material responsibilities. One should give up one's family, right, and engage in Krishna consciousness. Go to the forest. Right? 51. One means forest. Right? Also, in Sanskrit, in Hindi, these years always end, these figures always end with 111. So maybe there is some indication by some astrological arrangements and arrangement of the Lord. We're being reminded again and again, 111, you know, like that. After 50, we should retire. We should solely focus on Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't be enamored by various positions, various situations, and we shouldn't become the victim of our desires. Srila Prabhupada is saying here, 15 to 20 years at least. Right? Then Prabhupada is continuing. This is near the end of the purport. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. Right? So, when one is neglecting one's spiritual life by not retiring timely, then Prabhupada is saying one is taking up to suicide, atmaha. One is actually killing one's spiritual life, spiritual progress. And the purpose of all of this, retiring and so on, is to attain the highest perfection of life. And what is that highest perfection? What is our goal? What is the purpose of this human form of life? To go back home, back to Godhead. That is the highest perfection of life. This is how Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport. Right? Some people want to come back and preach. Right? Some people want to come and do different services. But Prabhupada here is saying the highest perfection of life is to go back to Godhead. Once you reach there, and if Krishna wants, you can come back. Right, if Krishna desires. Or if you still haven't perfected your life, you may come back and continue with your devotional service and preach. But Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the highest perfection of life is to go back to Godhead. Right, to go back to Godhead. Okay. Srila Prabhupada is continuing. The text is also there, text 40. The theme is there. Same theme is being continued about renunciation, retiring. Appropriately, timely. Ma Yudhishthira at once, this is text 40, relinquished all his garments, belt and ornaments of the royal order. So then, what, was he wandering around naked? Prabhupada used the word nudi, right? So then Prabhupada in the purport explains that it wasn't quite like that. He wasn't like Sukadev Goswami or Rishabdev. So we'll hear about that in the purport in a little while. But he relinquished all his garments. Right? All the opulent clothes, all the jewelry, all the decoration of the king. He put all of that aside. Right? And then completely he became disinterested and unattached to everything material. So text 40 to 44, we're hearing about the steps Ma Yudhishthira is taking in terms of actually going into retired life and then ultimately developing complete detachment and going back to Godhead. We're also hearing how he does not depend on his brothers. Right? Are my brothers following me? Are they okay? Is my family members okay? He's not depending on his family members. He's not depending on his brothers. And he travels towards the north. So this is quite often mentioned, traveling to the north. So north is the gateway to the spiritual world or the higher planets. Right? So this is what he does. Not looking back, not turning to his brothers, not looking back at his family, their well-being, or how they're doing, or if they're actually following me. You know, like that. I'm a great personality, I'm doing a great thing. Are they following me? No. He's not concerned. He's not depending on his family members. And with one pointed determination, he travels north. In the purport, Prabhupada speaks about if one becomes purified of material contamination, then one gets the association of the Lord, number one. Number two, then Prabhupada says, one goes back to Godhead. Right? And then later on, when one is pious in this way, one is detached in this way, one is remembered for all time. Just as Lord Ramachandra is remembered, Ma Yudhishthira is also remembered because he was pious, he was detached. And he became detached, he retired appropriately. He was ideal. So he was remembered. And then also, people who are under these great personalities are also very, very happy. Like that. So people were happy with Ma Yudhishthira. This is the result of of living a pious life. This is a result of being detached and doing one's duty, doing one's service in a renounced manner, in a detached way. How did Maha Yudhishthira detach himself? So Prabhupada explains, Maha Yudhishthira therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence and his royal dress and garments. So he just gave it up. There was no strategy, there was no plan. He just gave it up. Immediately he just gave it up. Right? So that's what Prabhupada says. And then he says, he speaks about, he took on the saffron cloth of a sannyasi, which indicates freedom from attractive material garments, and thus he changed his dress accordingly, like that. So he took on the saffron dress, which means that he's taking up to renounced order of life. You know, it's the dress of someone who's going to prepare himself for death. Just like Sati, it's described that she had on a saffron sari as she was, you know, kind of concluding her life like that. Sometimes the color saffron, the saffron dress, is a color of detachment, and it is said also it represents the dust at the lotus feet of Radharani or Krishna. Sometimes it is said the Krishna's dhoti is not saffron, is not yellow, it's saffron. So this is what the color saffron represents. So he didn't take on any other dresses. He didn't have colorful dhotis or colorful saris and, you know, various ornaments and so on. He took up to simple saffron loincloth, like that. Yeah. So that's what he did. This is how he became detached. This is how he practiced the renounced order of life. How does one become detached? Prabhupada did give some indication that one should just become detached. Like at times Prabhupada would be approached by devotees and he'll be asked, Prabhupada, how does one become enthusiastic? How does one become determined? How does one become attentive on one's chanting? And Srila Prabhupada, just become attentive, just become determined, just become enthusiastic. So here, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhishthira at once just gave up. He just became detached. Just become detached. Right? It's not like, okay, I gotta kind of think in this way, that way, this thing's gotta be in the right place. This, just become detached. So that's one thing that Srila Prabhupada points out. Also, in the fifth canto, there is a talk of detachment, there is a talk of renunciation and going back to Godhead, where there is a conversation with Jada Bharat and Maharaj Rahugan. We're not going to go into the detail of that because we only have limited time. But Jada Bharat recommends Maharaj Rahugan. And then ultimately Maharaj Rahugan does become detached from his position as a king. He gives up that ego and he realizes himself as the spirit soul. So what are some of the things that Jada Bharat tells Maharaj Rahugan? He says, I became detached because of observance and experience, number one. And he says, also by hearing the Vedic literatures from great personalities and also myself reading the Vedic literatures. This is what Jada Bharat is explaining to Maharaj Rahugan. So he says experience and observance, hearing from the scriptures, and then he says, the most important thing is I associated with exalted personalities. Even as a deer, I associated with exalted personalities. I gave up association of other deers. And I went to a holy place, Pula Ashram. And there, I associated with exalted personalities. I heard from them about the pastimes of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord. And I heard about the material world, the difficulties, the challenges, the predicament of being in the material world. Right? I heard about the spiritual world. So these are some of the things that Jadabharata is telling Majrogan what will help us to become detached. Then Jadabharata tells Majrogan about the mind. Actually, the cause of our suffering, the cause of our entanglement is the mind. And he gives examples. He speaks about fatigue. Who is actually fatigued? Is it that the body is the fatigued, or is the living entity fatigued? That's the question he puts forward to Majrogan. And it is said that how can the living entity, he says that how can the living entity be fatigued? And how can the body be fatigued? Right? Because it's made of earth, water, fire, and air and ether. Right? It's inanimate. So how is the body fatigued? So he says it's all due to the mind. It's all due to the mind. And he gives a couple of examples. This is according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When a young man is attracted to the young lady and he has to carry some jewelry for the lady, he has to carry a suitcase for the lady, right? He's very enthusiastic to carry that load. And he even asks the lady, can I have some more so I can carry your things? You know, like that. But if the same man is asked, right, without payment, right, this is a heavy load, can you help me move it up here? Why? Why should I move it? Or I feel tired, I can't move. But when he's carrying the load of the lady he's attracted to, right, he's happy carrying on. There is no fatigue, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives the example of a mother. She doesn't feel fatigued in carrying a baby, and she wants to feed the baby even more and more, right? She's not concerned that the babies, you know, become fat and then have to carry the big load, right? The mother is very enthusiastic to feed the baby more and more. So in this way, Jadabharata explains to Majrogan that is all in the mind. Happiness, distress, various attachments is all in the mind. Suffering, everything is in the mind. And then he starts speaking about the falsity of the material world. Right? Various combinations of various material elements. Then there are certain colors, then there are certain shapes. There's something big, there is something small. And we give it names. But actually, everything is temporary, is impermanent. And, we think that this is... We kind of put an emphasis on certain things, we kind of neglect certain things. So he speaks about the falsity of the material world. And then he speaks about what is real. He says the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only truth. He says the abode of the Supreme Lord is the only truth. The process of devotional service is the only truth. And he glorifies the Supreme Lord. So what does he do? How does one develop detachment? Chant the glories of the Lord. Hear the glories of the Lord, chant the glories of the Lord. And also he's speaking about what is the world to Majrogan. In this way he's helping himself to develop detachment and he helps Majrogan to become detached. And then finally he speaks about, or he gives the allegory or description of a merchant entering the forest. And in this way, he's saying, he describes the predicament of the living entity in the material world. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami to give the direct meaning of this description. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj becoming merciful unto us, he's thinking of us, the living entities, the ordinary devotees, and therefore we further hear about the predicament of the material world. So these are key things in terms of helping us to develop detachment. When we hear about the qualities of the mind, the functions of the mind, we hear about the falsity of the material world, we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, we chant the pastimes of the Lord, we associate with the exalted personalities, we observe, we read the scriptures, these are all factors which will help us to become detached. And in this way, Jadabharata became detached, and very soon Majrogan also became detached. And he came to the platform of self-realization and he gave up his false ego like this. And then we hear about how Maharaj Rohugan continues to rule the kingdom but in a way without attachment, and then ultimately he goes back to Godhead, and Jadabharata then continues wandering the world. right? Being merciful to living entities by giving his association and by those who are qualified, he gave them instructions, just as he gave Jada Bharat. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about detachment. He's speaking about the importance of detachment and how we should become detached. A couple of minutes, I wanted to just speak about the Purushottam month. Today marks the beginning of the Purushottam month. It's referred to as the Purushottam Adhik Mash. Right? Purushottam. Purushottam is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best amongst all beings, the supreme enjoyer. Right? Adhik is referring to extraordinary, right, or additional. And Mas is referring to month. So Purushottam Adhik Mas means extraordinary, additional month of the Lord. You know, like that. It starts from today and goes all the way until 17th of October. In the lunar calendar, every 3 years, a month is added, approximately, like that. every year, there's 10 days which are pending. So after 3 years, a month is added, like this, to balance out the upcoming days, months, and the year. Just like we have the leap year in the solar calculation, in the solar calendar, every 4 years, one day is added, like that. So similarly, in the lunar calendar, there is this Purushottam Mas, right? The Purushottam Adhik Mas. When Purushottam Mas, Padma Purana gives description, when Purushottam Mas first appeared, people thought that it was inauspicious. People looked down on this particular month during this time. You know, like they were kind of depressed, or they were thinking it's inauspicious. And also the personification of this month felt dejected in this way. So then he took shelter of the Supreme Lord, and then the Supreme Lord then pacified the personification of this month, and he said, all good qualities will be upon you. You'll be blessed with all good qualities. In fact, you'll be blessed with the same opulence and qualities as myself. And from this day, I give you my name. Right? You'll be, this month, right, you'll be known from my name. You'll be called upon in connection with me, like this. So the Lord himself gave this month a name, to pacify him. And then later on, the Lord says, one who observes this month, right, one who serves this month, goes back to Godhead. And then he outlines a few vows that one can take, a few things that one can do in terms of observing this month. So he said, one can worship me by offering a ghee lamp or by chanting my holy names. One can read or hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And one can give charity in this month. And by doing these things, one becomes eligible to go back to Godhead. So therefore, devotees take various vows, you know, based on the direction of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, they become eligible to go back to Godhead. And in this way, please the personification of this month, please the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So, we can take comments or questions. Maybe one or two. Sutapa Prabhu, and then we'll go on to others.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. In the purport of 39, Prabhupada says, the four orders of life, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, are to be followed by all, irrespective of occupation or division. Mm-hmm. So then, in other places, Prabhupada mentions, you know, for example, if someone is a sudra, then they don't take vanaprast or sannyas like that. So I was just wondering whether you could say something about what this actually refers to.
Mm-hmm. Here, this particular text is speaking about retirement, right? And becoming detached from material association. You know, becoming detached from one's position, you know, kind of giving up one's various material desires and so on and so forth. So that's the point. The point is, whatever occupational order we're in, we should come to this point of detachment, this point of retirement. Whether one takes sannyas or not, that's a separate thing. One has to be qualified to take sannyas, especially if we're meant to be guiding other people, if we're seen in the society as the father of the society, as the guide for society. So that's a different thing. But the main point is that we should become detached. These verses are speaking about detachment from our ordinary duties, our ordinary activities. Like that. Yeah.
I don't want to correct you, but in the earlier verses you read about when it says that Maharaj Yudhishthira placed the fire of renouncement within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Is exactly what it says in purport, mm-hmm, and in word for word in Sanskrit. You kind of say the place himself in the fire of renouncement.
Yeah.
It's very connected. But
yeah,
when you take this original statement, therefore, is all connected with everything you said, because Maharaj Yudhishthira first decided very deeply within himself, I'm going to renounce.
Mm-hmm.
And he placed the fire of renouncement within his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything just faded away. Mm-hmm. There was no detachment, as you said, in further verses. He didn't care for his kingdom. So this is much more powerful statement. With this attitude, placed in renouncement within, mm-hmm, himself, your renouncement is very happy,
mm-hmm,
blissful.
Yeah.
But if you put yourself in the fire of renouncement, then can be meaning a little bit different, almost like I put myself in fire like Pakora.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I know I should, time is coming for me to renounce. God knows what's going to be behind with my family. I have to go. It's kind of austerity. You tolerate and you go forward. But if you renounce yourself, before, Maharaj Yudhishthira renounce even before, give up his insignia of king,
mm-hmm,
already renounced within, and he just didn't, yeah, care. So this kind of much more powerful statement,
yeah,
original.
Yeah.
I'm renounced and then everything.
Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't that Maharaj Yudhishthira,
yeah,
wasn't,
yeah,
practicing detachment and renunciation. You already begun that process.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's these were the signs.
Final. Yeah,
these,
yeah,
were the signs. These were the, yeah, external, yeah, symptoms now, like, yeah, that. So in this way,
yeah,
he placed himself in the fire for
quitting heart, and then later he's just kind of ritualistic.
Yeah.
Okay, dedicate kingdom to this. He's already.
Yeah.
You know, he said he placed fire within himself.
The text reads, yeah, placed himself in the fire of quitting
himself.
Household life.
No, it doesn't. He said placed renouncement. Really? Himself. No.
Oh, okay.
Place the fire of renouncement within himself.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Placed himself.
Himself. No.
Placed in himself,
yeah,
the fire for
the
quitting household life. Okay, fine.
That's,
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
It's kind of,
yeah,
for me, it runs on so,
yeah,
powerful. When you get renounced, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And externally, it's just kind of consequence of you dropping everything.
Mm.
Karikrishna. Another thing, you speak about Jayabharata there, and he said, last point, that he became renounced by reading the Vedas also.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also himself described within the Vedas, so was he reading about himself as well?
Yeah, he doesn't mention, or there's no,
yeah,
mention of him,
yeah,
reading about himself. Copy,
yeah.
Nathu. And then maybe we'll take a question from the ladies.
Thank you for the deeply analytical class and with a sweet note of humor. It's very nice. I was wondering if you could comment on two aspects of renunciation, and specifically we're talking about retirement. One is, it seems it's different for us because in a preaching mission, it seems that preaching supersedes the idea of typical retirement. We don't give up our in opposition in that sense, we don't leave. So if you could comment on that, how does it work? It seems that my understanding is that we actually engage more in preaching. We retire maybe from certain activities, but preaching takes prominence, so we don't give up. And the other aspect is, how do we understand when Prabhupada mentions 15 to 20 years, last years of our life? He also mentioned 12 years and then 50 years. So all of this seems very late in life. The reality is most people don't know if they're going to reach that stage of life. So if we wait to the last 15, 20 years, first of all, when is that? You can only speculate. And secondly, if you take that chance, maybe you could come back life after life after life and never become detached. So, yeah, is it something we need to wait for? It seems ideal, but it doesn't seem realistic.
So Gopinath Prabhu is hinting or suggesting that don't take risks, don't wait. Right? One can begin now. One can start to take up to detachment. One can start to renounce now, you know, like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj, before the external procedures, he did start renouncing, you know, like that. He started giving up things. Internally started to become detached. And you were mentioning, what does it mean? You were kind of seeming more like a comment rather than a question. You are saying for a devotee, you know, it means taking up more to preaching, taking up more to devotional service, you know, like that, rather than, you know, other duties, family duties, so on and so forth, like that, kind of stopping those duties, giving those duties up, passing on those duties to someone else, like that. Yeah. It's interesting, he gave up association also of his family members. Right, and he does not depend on his brothers. His brothers were devotees. His mother was a devotee. Right? You also hear Kadama Muni. Right? His son was Kapila. But still, he gave up family life. And he went to the forest, depended solely on the Lord, took up to meditating on the Lord. So, even if our family members are devotees, right, maybe we have to see, you know, if there are, if because there may be risks in terms of us developing attachment and concern for them and so on and so forth. So here Maharaj Yudhishthira is given an example that they are devotees, but I'm not depending on them, right? They are not my concern. I got to focus on my spiritual life. I got to deliver myself. This is the time I must do it. Like that. So he gives up also his family members. He does not depend on them. Like that. There was a question or comment from the ladies. Someone raised their hand.
My question goes in the same direction, actually, like Gopinath Prabhu. We are seeing also in ISKCON, I mean, they said you come to Krishna consciousness, you take up more Krishna conscious activities. So when we are in Krishna consciousness already, and especially when we are serving in temples also, we are taking up already Krishna conscious activities. But yet, it could be still that these are also, or my question is, are maybe some of them also meant to be given up after, or to be reduced, and others to taken on more? Of this variety of Krishna conscious activities which we are doing, when we come to that type of age.
So, if we're already engaged in services, specifically as a resident, we're quite absorbed in services, or at least externally, preaching services and so on, somewhat full time, you know, like that. Should we actually look at giving those services up, reducing those services? Should we focus on certain particular things.
Yeah, and specifically I'm thinking also of all the ones who are engaged in administrative services, in managing and all these type of things.
So one has to look within oneself in terms of where they're at and what will help them to become more Krishna conscious. So it's an introspection, number one. And number two, discussion with the devotees, specifically our seniors, mentor, spiritual master. And in this way, take appropriate steps. Sometimes it is required, and it is helpful that we're not doing the same service as we were doing when we were younger, like that. Now, when we're older, we're going through a certain phase, or we're in a certain stage of our life. What will help, help me at this stage of my life to become more Krishna conscious? Like that. So we should think about that. We should look deeply in our hearts and also open up to devotees. And in this way, help ourselves in making progress. Sometimes, we may be, kind of holding on to, certain services or positions and so on and so forth, because, it's service, it's fine. But it may not be, it may be helpful, but you could be helping yourself more. Like that. So it's always good to reassess, right? Introspect. In these years, this particular stage of my life, what will help me? What services? What association? What situation? Like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. One question. Does this family detachment quality also apply to Vaishnavis, Matajis? Because they don't have a brahmachari ashram, or like they're not go study now at this age or something like that. But is it also applicable for renunciation, for Vaishnavis?
Good question. Does this also apply to the Vaishnavis? It could apply to the Vaishnavis if that's the path that they want to take up to. Right? Then they may develop that resolve that, yes, I want to, be focused and absorbed in Krishna consciousness. I want to dedicate my life to serving Krishna fully and not be involved with my family members or get married and so on and so forth. So, yeah. Can apply to them as well. General recommendation that Prabhupada gives is that the Vaishnavi should get married, lady should get married. But if a lady feels that they want to take to this path, right, under the guidance of devotees, with consultation of other devotees, then they can have this resolve. They can go on this path. Practice detachment. Yeah. We can ask the ladies. I don't know what. We can.
Tell us what Mother Kalangan was doing. In turn, no, you please.
What is Mother Kalangan doing? Okay. So, with getting older, she reduced her services naturally. But she was dedicated to hearing. She was very much hearing, was increasing her association with devotees and speaking to them and reading to them about Krishna consciousness and giving guidance to the other ladies and other male devotees also, to anyone, doesn't matter. Took up more like a guiding position. That's my understanding. Yeah. You want to add something for your talk? That's what it is. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak in the mic, Prajna?
She didn't. It's not as though she didn't have pain passing it on. She did. The only pain she received is when they didn't follow. And that was the shame. Because she said, and I remember her sharing with me, that there's nothing I can do. That's the pain of coming out. you know, I can, as it says, you know, we go open up and I, we had a discussion, and certainly I was trying to point out, watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for that. But actually, I shouldn't have been doing it. Because, like Maharaj, King Yudhisthira, he made sure the persons were in place, that there was the backup, and how they handle being a king, how they handle their each other's relationships was up to them. We couldn't do it for them. So when you hand over, and that's one thing I'm really learning, or trying to learn, from this handing on, that it's very, very painful. People can either listen or they won't listen. But at the same time, I should understand that they've got to go through it too. So I can't hold their hand. I can't say, but what if, you know, and I have to leave, I have to hand it over. That's where the detachment. But the fire is still there because it's the personal pain. That's to do with trying to help them, but they don't need your help. Mm-hmm. Not in reality. Yeah. They have to face it themselves. Yeah. And that is something I'm having to go through the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to remember this.
Thank you. I think we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki.